Hello, and welcome to Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your host for the evening, Taylor Wolfel, a graduate from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, who has been an avid fan of science for all my life. And today, we are going to be talking about emotions and evolution. Much of what we're discussing today is based around the article A Model for Basic Emotions Using Observations of Behavior in Drosophila, or fruit flies. So a big thank you to the National Library of Medicine and the five authors of our article. Alrighty. The key concept I'd like to present right out of the gate is basic emotions. Remember these, drill them into your head, they're going to come up a lot. These include happiness, sadness, anger, and fear, in no specific order. This is what everything is based around, and what every animal, from the fruit flies in the experiment, to you and I have. Now, we obviously possess some more complicated emotions than the ones listed there, including love and frustration and disgust and everything you experience on a weekly basis. But we'll be getting into that a little bit later. As I mentioned, the experiments performed were done on fruit flies. These are used to model and to better understand the underlying emotional patterns that we as humans have and the mental disorders that we suffer from, including depression and bipolar disorders. This is all based upon two psychological theories, basic emotion and dimensional theory. Now, basic emotion theory proposes that human beings have a limited number of emotions, you know, fear, anger, joy, sadness, that are biologically and psychologically basic, only differing in intensity. So really what we're trying to say here is that we have these basic emotions and they are the basis of every other emotion, just varying in how strong we're feeling it. Am I feeling love or really strong joy? Am I irritated or slightly angered? This is what basic emotion theory is trying to get at. Now, dimensional theory proposes the existence of two fundamental dimensions, hedonic and arousal, which form from emotional space and the dimensional theory. Each emotional state may be continuously, you see where I'm getting? In English, we are saying that emotion falls on a graph with an x-axis and a y-axis, just like geometry class in high school. Our x-axis is being how strong that emotion is. It's arousal. And the y-axis is how pleasurable or unpleasurable that emotion is. So making a green light, that's pleasurable, but, you know, there's better things out there. Or on the opposite end, you know, you go through a breakup. That's strong and unpleasant. What this research is trying to do is take these two theories, long believed to be contradictory, and mash them together into something that plays nice. So if we restructure our graph from before and we put fear and anger on our x-axis or arousal, and then we place sadness and happiness on our y-axis, instead we relate our breakup to sadness and fear. And our green light is happiness, but is happiness and anger, but, you know, only a little bit of anger. It's really more just happiness, right? So this helps us define emotion in these quadrants. All right, now we've established our foundation. We have our two theories, basic emotion and dimensional, and they are what we will build upon going forward. But first, let's take a quick break and listen to something on theme for tonight. Here is Emotion by the Bee Gees. That was Emotion by the Bee Gees. Let me welcome you back to our talk tonight. This is Perpetual Notion Machine, and we are talking about emotion and evolution. In our first half, we discussed the fundamental theories behind emotion in psychology, and that leaves us with evolution and how that's going to factor in. So, the largest problem in all is simply understanding emotions. Research of physiologists and psychologists typically fail to look through the lens of evolution. Additionally, emotion cannot be directly observed or measured, and we have no perspective through the eyes of an animal subject. Along the same lines, some animals, like primates, may share the ability to self-reflect and feel complex emotions like love and frustration, but many invertebrates, and including insects, these emotions would be foreign and might just be an internal state that they are experiencing, a need, a drive, a tendency to certain behavior. It was actually Darwin, yes, Charles Darwin, was the first to suggest that even insects use these behaviors and these emotions similar to humans. This all stems from the need of animals to sense and evaluate the surrounding stimuli and take their internal needs into consideration to respond appropriately. In terms of evolution, emotions and the behaviors associated with them should have a value inherent to them for survival. Because without the survival aspect, how are these emotions being passed on? To link all this together so far, these basic emotions, the happiness, sadness, anger, and fear, are naturally instinctive behaviors that adapt through evolution to whatever the species needs. This all sounds like a lot, but to break it down even more, these basic emotions are primitive and universal among animals in some form or another that are simply expressed by the behaviors of that species. It might be a dog growling, showing its teeth, a cricket rubbing its legs together, or even human laughter. Could even be one of those crazy bird dances you've seen narrated by David Attenborough. These basic emotions are related to the instincts. The authors give examples of having low blood sugar being an instinctual need for food, with the glucose level in the body relaying a neural sensor. That neural sensor connects to an instinctual sensor that lets the conscious brain recognize and understand that a need needs to be met. Essentially, a fancy way of saying, you have low blood sugar and you feel hungry. And so now your body wants food, and you know that you want food because you can feel hunger. You are emoting hunger. In a similar vein, it has been proposed that feelings come from sensing one's own bodily state. Studies surrounding the fruit flies have actually backed up these hypotheses. It was found that the fruit flies have a similar sense for wanting macronutrients based on internal nutritional states. On top of that, they can distinguish between sugars based on the caloric content instead of by taste. There's evidence that all animals have sensors to detect levels of either sugar and or protein in the body. These basic needs are able to trigger emotions, basic emotions. These are primitive. A study was done where rodents were exposed to a predator, like a cat, and it triggered defense behaviors despite having never seen a cat before. These behaviors are innate, and fear being the most crucial response, potentially, to survival by initiating a defense response, fight or flight, which we've all heard of. Despite the primitive nature of basic emotions, they have evolved, with fear and anger not always triggering a fight or flight response, based on the amount of arousal presented and happiness triggering to reinforce good behaviors time and again to help with coping in new environments. This can be seen from the triggering of dopamine in the brain, from not only the response to pleasure, but in the anticipation of pleasure as well, showing that animals capable of even anticipating reward will emote happiness. Even with the fruit flies, they will show anticipation of happiness through movement. When even presented with food, the fruit flies were more locomotive and had higher levels of dopamine. If we relay this back to our two theories on the dimensional axis, we have anticipatory levels of happiness and what we would consider to be on the anger axis for arousal. So we are anticipating something good, so our dopamine spikes up. With these basic emotions evolving to handle a variety of tasks, there must be a biological element driving these responses to continue to happen. These biological changes should be capable of handling many kinds of scenarios involving all four basic emotions: happiness, sadness, fear, and anger. You remember those? Good. The thing that links all of these is the biological changes in the animals. There are neuromodulators in the brain. These are things you've probably heard of before. Norepinephrine, dopamine, and serotonin. Each of these triggers on the appropriate dimension from our theory before. Norepinephrine dictates stress, dopamine with reward, and serotonin controls punishment. Just as the dimensional theory suggests. Additionally, the combination of these chemicals causes a higher level emotional response. For example, norepinephrine and dopamine can cause a relaxed state when triggered together, sadness and happiness, while dopamine and serotonin can cause an excited response, fear and anger with happiness. So, we have chemicals in the brain that are physically happening when emotions are triggered by outside stimuli. You win the lottery, you become happy and stressed. You get dopamine and norepinephrine coursing through your brain. These chemicals and the reactions involved with them are the processes that evolution has developed and are linked to emotions and evolution. There we go. Before we sign off for the evening, I wanted to go over some science that has been happening in the news recently. 8 billion people, that's right, the new estimate of the current human population has eclipsed yet another billion. This has been growing for a long time and pretty steadily since the 1950s. But experts are projecting the increase to slow. They're saying we'll likely be over 10 billion in 60 years and 11 billion by the turn of the next century. And after that, it should level off. Leprosy, there could be some hope for it. Surprisingly enough, the disease has been found to increase the size of the liver, yet remain healthy. Testing was done on another natural carrier of the disease, the armadillo, and it was found that although there was an enlarging of the liver, it was still quite healthy, and even more so than unaffected armadillos. Researchers hope to utilize the bacteria to work for humans instead of against. This could drastically decrease the amount of transplantations that are done every year and really just help out. Lastly, we have news from NASA. Artemis 1, we're on the way back to the moon. NASA was able to launch their new mission in the early morning around 2 a.m. on November 16th, 2022. This is supposed to be the first step in getting back to the moon. The spacecraft is currently in orbit and set to orbit the moon in the next week or so, providing data back to scientists at NASA. although it's an unmanned mission, there is a mannequin on board, and it'll be relaying data as well. This has been your host, Taylor Wolfel, with Perpetual Notion Machine. Have yourself a wonderful evening. I'll be leaving you with Emotion by Mariah Carey.